Welcome to the December 6th edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I'm your host, Kent Osborne. We have gathered the experts today to talk tech, listen to your thoughts, and answer your questions. In the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls is from Exigent Solutions, Amos Aesop. Hi, Amos.
Hey, good afternoon.
Glad to have you with us.
That was good.
Just barely.
Port Manitou of the
Depends.
Morning.
And if you're in, afternoon. If you're in Rapid, I guess. It's still good morning.
Yeah. John T. Meyer,
howdy.
Lemon Lee, hi.
How's it going?
It's going great. How are things at the big Lemon Lee ship?
It's good. We're driving hard toward the end of the year. It's weird. We're at that point where there's really probably like 2 weeks left of work, and then our clients really go dark. Not only at the end of December, but even there's sort of a holiday hangover,
kind of submarine down there,
January, which yeah. Run, is good run deep for the team to relax. Of course, as a business owner, you kind of want to keep going.
But go.
Yeah, well, we see that same thing.
Interesting.
I'm sure, yeah.
About a week before Christmas,
it's
everything shuts down.
Hiding before the legislature, but
sure,
you know,
yeah. You got to like rest up.
Yeah. Basically, you got to take the gummies and get.
I think
the
it's always fascinating, right?
Immunization.
All these business, everybody out there. You see someone on the street at a restaurant. Everyone's got a different sort of schedule, right? If you're a fireworks salesperson, you're just kind of hanging out. And if you're a Christmas tree person, you're probably pretty busy.
You're ramming and jamming this time of year. Yeah. If you sell Christmas gifts, you're trying to make hay.
Yeah.
You know? So, well, anyway, we're a listener interactive program. If you have a question, we'll try to provide that answer. On Facebook, we are simply facebook.com/techradio. You can post your questions, your comments there. Please don't be shy. Send us a text, 956-SDPB, that's 956-7372, and our phone number to talk to us, 800-852-0214. I was a little fast there, 800-852-0214. Twitter users, it's simply at KentSDPB, and the email address is inthemoment@sdpb.org. I got to ask you about this, John. You mentioned on a show previous that you're a Peloton owner.
Peloton
bike.
Yeah.
Peloton bike. It's this seemingly expensive exercise, technology-based exercise bike.
Oh, I don't think
Am
seemingly.
Am I describing it?
It definitely is.
Okay, all right.
$2,200 bucks? $2,500 bike. The first year you get the subscription included, and then after that maybe $39 a month. So then it becomes almost like a gym membership as well for the content.
Okay.
Yeah.
And something crazy happened. They started running Christmas ads. And the reaction was bonkers. And I don't know. I've seen the ad.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't affected by it as much as some.
Sure. Not the target demographic, certainly.
But the reaction in social media was such, the firestorm was such, that their stock value went down like $1.5 billion.
At 10%, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's an interesting story. The commercial actually started running early November, like ramping up to Black Friday and the holiday season, but it didn't really explode on the internet till about the start of this week, like a week ago. So interesting, one, how we see this sort of groundswell of backlash. Mm-hmm. Once the internet jumps on something, it can just go and really roll, because the commercial actually had been out there for a little while. And also interesting just how the internet and even social media can impact, as you're saying, stock price. And I feel a little bad for Peloton. They IPO'd early fall and maybe late summer, and the price got beat up pretty big, which has been sort of the trend in 2019 for most tech companies with getting out into the public market. Hasn't gone so well. They were just starting to really gain some traction and come on the way back up. They were announcing that in 2020, they expect to release a cheaper bike and a cheaper treadmill. And then this happened as their stock price is starting to come back, got slammed again. And so I'm not sure what my stance is exactly on the commercial. As a marketing advertising person, I don't think it's a great commercial. I think they could have, had better copywriting. I think it missed the mark, which is interesting because I think Peloton usually actually is very good at marketing, and it was their same agency apparently who made this commercial.
Yeah.
Previously there's been funny Twitter threads about Peloton, how everyone who always has the bike is in this immaculate apartment or like a glass house.
$3.5 million
kitchen.
House.
Yeah, an amazing kitchen in Manhattan. But that is not, that's intentional, right? That's super intentional. And so when you say it's sort of expensive, I said it's definitely expensive. That's who they're targeting. They're making this product a luxury fitness item that people strive and want to have, right? And so when this commercial came out and the backlash of, wait a minute, why is this guy, this husband buying, like, what is he saying by buying his wife a Peloton? And that's the controversy.
Right. And you know, if I'm looking at it objectively and I'm looking at the arguments, there's people saying, well, she's already fit.
Sure.
Yeah. And this is a piece of exercise equipment. This isn't necessarily a weight loss thing. And that's the implied thing here is that the husband is saying the wife is overweight and needs to lose weight. And
that's the controversy.
Like buying her a vacuum cleaner if the house is dirtier. Yep.
And I get that. Whatever. I totally get that. I also understand people are like, what if she asked for it for Christmas?
Well, right. We just established that they're trying to make it, something people are striving for.
It's a status symbol, yeah.
And if someone has been talking about it for the last 9 months and then her husband comes up with it, I certainly... would be happy about that if it was something that I wanted for the last 9 months.
I think part of what makes the commercial weird is that she's creating this like video blog about her experience using the bike, which I guess, and maybe that isn't weird because that's sort of the world we live in now, and people creating Instagram stories and Snapchat.
Yeah.
But that part was that's the part where it just felt a little awkward. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not someone who's going to say like, today's my first day on the bike and today's my second day.
And there were subtle hints in there about time moving on, right? You could see through the windows that seasons were coming. There was winter, summer, fall, and there was really no discernible physical change in the person who was on the bike or who had the bike purchased for them. But at the end, they certainly seemed happy and excited about that first year of having the bike in the service.
Hey, I can't commit to anything over like 3 weeks. and she got it done for a year. I mean, applause.
Here's a story yesterday. I mean, it's such an interesting, almost like just sign of the times that we live in. So, you know, I just put Peloton into Google and then search the news tab. And so this is TMZ. So you take that for what it's worth. But, the actor who plays the husband is worried about repercussions for his career. This is a guy who's just paid to play the husband. Like he's just playing the part of, and now he's worried that people will think of him as he, you know, that he actually was sending this message.
So as a marketer, I got to ask you this question. The adage used to be, I mean, I can remember college professors saying, you know, there's no such thing as bad press. You know, even if you muff an advertising campaign, the bad press is going to give you exposure, and that's dollars, and that's good. And I think we've seen in recent times other ads that have maybe missed the mark, or people feel that they've missed the mark badly. Is that adage gone now? I mean, have you missed the mark with a client so badly that I don't know.
I don't think we've ever had anything go viral in a negative nature for our clients. Usually we help write and craft the story, but they certainly come with the original kernel of the idea. We're trying to make it more interesting or more easy to understand. But I agree. I couldn't help but think about, you know, we haven't had a show for a little while, but our own campaign right here in South Dakota, right? The meth campaign. When this Peloton story broke out, this is just a couple weeks after the meth one here in South Dakota, and this idea of is all press good press? I think that question is.
I mean, people are standing by that. You know, it's exposure.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if I'm the Peloton CEO, I wouldn't be happy about losing $1 billion of my company valuation.
It's coming back pretty quick though. I just checked. It's bounced back significantly. So
it's also a sign of the news cycle that we live in today. This, you know, the meth thing is gone. Like who's talking about that? That's old news. Mm-hmm. And that was what, 10 days ago?
Yeah.
I think the controversy over the campaign is old, but
want to say that the problem is still very existent. Yeah.
We're still working on that.
Yeah, 100%. But the days of it being in the New York Times and the night show talk, like the talk shows, is gone.
Well, I think it's just modern day attention span.
Yeah.
It's just not there anymore, right? It's which it's so that's one of the things that I thought about when I saw when I see these commercials for Peloton and I see these sort of technology sort of focused new waves on old things, right? So, you know, remember we used to have things like Bowflexes or you'd have a weight bench in your garage, that sort of stuff. Now we're putting a technology twist on it. And how long does that last? Is that also a flash in the pan? I don't even know. How long has Peloton been around?
Oh, so I will have mine for almost 2 years in February, but it's probably been around 4 or 5 years.
And they've really made more traction in the last 6 to 12 months than they had previously, right?
Yeah, so before they got out to IPO, they have, of course, like every tech company these days, they're operating at a loss, but they're growing tremendously because they're spending a ton of money on marketing and advertising. Yeah. You can go to, they have these pop-up shops and malls. They're spending a ton.
And so my question was, you know, just watching that commercial, how long does this remain the hot thing? How long until it's replaced by?
True.
And I don't even know what it's going to be replaced by, but that's the billion-dollar question, literally. How long does that sort of stuff maintain its relevance?
Yeah, because now you're Nordic Trek, right? Remember them?
They
now have a digital component, and they're making sort of a comeback, trying to bring back their products in more of a digital. And so I do think Peloton has been disruptive in terms of where the fitness industry will go. There's another one that serves me Instagram ads all the time. It's like a mirror, and you put this mirror in. So the thought is you could be in a New York City apartment of only, a studio apartment with only 600 square feet and still have your own little gym thanks to this mirror thing. And I don't know, it tells you what to do and you do it back. And I mean, I'll say as a user, I'm a Peloton fan because I definitely exercise harder with it. Like if I were to just go to ride a bike by myself versus having this person tell me what to do. Yeah. And I think what I like about it, it's more than just you get the exercise one, but I'm kind of a homer for this type of stuff, but there's also a lot of mindset stuff. Like they say things about, seizing the day and bring your best self to work. And I think that stuff, I think in our world of a lot of negativity is actually really powerful, but that's neat to hear.
And technology's place in the fitness community, I think, is just beginning.
Agreed.
I mean, it's been there. Definitely, with the watches and the other wearables and things.
Yeah, since the last show, we had the Fitbit acquisition
by Google.
Google bought it for $2.1 billion. Apparently, Facebook missed out by $10 million. That's how quick or how close the negotiation was, like 50 cents a share. Both those companies, there's only one reason they wanted that company, and that's your data.
Data, right.
And so healthcare and tech is really the next frontier. I don't think you're going to see, we'll get into prediction episode maybe in the future, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of battleground for the next like social media app. You're going to start seeing it more in fitness. It's what Apple's trying to do with the watch. It's what Google, why they bought Fitbit. It is the next sort of battleground.
And the news about the Peloton commercial and that sort of stuff, I wasn't even aware there's a competitor. So there's a significant one, Echelon Bikes, which does the same thing.
Sure.
Very similar form factor, comes with or without a screen on it, and has the same, motivational people who are doing that. And then there's the
SoulCycle is trying to make a product
now.
Do they
have a product,
I think, on the heels of Peloton's success. Okay. They are more class-based, so across the country in major cities, you can go to... Same idea as SoulCycle, just in person.
Yeah. Well, Peloton does classes too, right? New York.
In New York. So the content you get streamed on your device is also filmed live. And one time when Paige and I were out in New York, I went to a class into their little studio in Lower Manhattan. And it was great. I mean, it's small. It was only maybe 50 people in that room. And so then I can go back now and also take that class and see myself in the studio, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their model. It's like almost a taste of SoulCycle.
Certainly, the interaction is with VR like I said, bringing technology into the exercise part. Even I think there's another golf place opening up in Sioux Falls, isn't there? The play
Great
Pebble
Chance.
Beach or play whatever golf course you want virtually.
Yeah, I think Sanford's Great Shots opens today, actually. That's the one out north of town.
Okay.
That's an actual, like, basically driving. A driving range.
Oh, it's actually a driving range
with heaters. But
I'm talking about that you're playing in front of a screen.
The virtual
one. You want to play St. Andrews? You put your credit card in and you play St. Andrews or whatever. But I just think the whole technology and exercise thing is interesting. And for me, you got to make it interesting, or I lose interest pretty
100%. And that's back to Amos's attention span, right? I mean, you're gonna see. I think even before VR, we're gonna see a lot more. In AR, right? So when we talk about AR, that's augmented reality. Think of the most kind of widely known AR experiences, the Pokemon app that got so big and famous. But Apple, this is how Apple does things now. You know, they used to be so secretive and they had their big announcement with Steve Jobs releasing the new product. Now they do these company all hands where thousands of employees learn about the future moves they're going to make, which of course, when 1,000 people know about something, they almost want it to get leaked. Mm-hmm. And so it got leaked that Apple plans to release some AR glasses in 2022, I believe. And, if Joel were here, I think he'd probably agree with me. But when Apple decides to do something, that probably means it's going to be a big space to watch. And so I think you're going to see AR in fitness too, what you're saying. Right. Maybe they're boxing, or maybe you're, if you're going to do crunches or sit-ups, can you do something to make it more interesting? Can you get points every time you do sit-ups? Almost like, you're seeing little Mario coins, whatever. It's going to happen. Gamifying fitness, it already is.
You know, there's right next door to where I live, they opened up about 6 months ago, maybe a little less, an Orange Theory, which is completely gamified, right? Yeah, the whole idea is your heart rate
points, right?
Is displayed on a screen up there, and you get what they call splats or points for working hard throughout the class. And at the end of the day, you get to see who won that class based on splat points. So gamification is really driving so many arenas.
There's a this is kind of related but different, but one of my favorite books from last year is called Atomic Habits by James Clear, and it's about the really breaking down good habits and how to reinforce good habits. So in one of them, he says one thing you can reward a good habit by kind of inducing a bad habit. And so in this story, the guy rigged up his stationary bike to power his Netflix. So while he could only watch Netflix if he was going at enough of a cadence, enough of a speed to power the Netflix. And so he was an engineer and he hacked it. So it makes him work out hard enough so he can watch Netflix at the same time.
That's
pretty great.
That's very nerdy.
Very nerdy.
Right. Well, we are slipping past break time here. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd have a question for you about, you mentioned some social media apps and things. I have a couple of questions for you on that. And we're going to give some tech tips for shopping as well this season to try to help keep you safe as we get more towards the time where we all feel pressure to hurry up and buy things online. All that after this. You are in the moment on SDPB Radio. It's Tech Radio. I'm Ken Osborne, and we are talking tech with the computer guys. Amos and John are here today, and we are taking your questions and comments about the tech in your life, and we'd love to hear from you. Send your questions by emailing them to inthemoment@sdpb.org, a text to 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. And Leland has done this again this week. We had an email or a question from him a couple weeks ago that we didn't really have an answer for, about a new iPhone that he was curious about, and that's the SE2.
SE2, the follow up, the replacement. The 4 years ago, what was it? Was March, I think, of 2016 is when the SE came out. And the SE is kind of the low cost value phone for iPhone, right? And so that's what the SE2, according to MacRumor.com, that's what's going to replace it, coming up probably in March 2020-ish.
Okay.
About 4 years later. And, when we talk value phones, we're talking this phone coming in at a list price of about $399, which, during the break, we commented that that's crazy that's what a low cost of entry level phone is these days. But still, but it's got the smaller phone, and actually it might actually be called, instead of the SE2, it might be the iPhone 9, since they skipped that.
What?
They went from 8 to 10 to 11.
Okay.
And now whatever number they're on.
Is it getting any updates as far as, well, is it losing the home button or is it keeping that?
You know, I don't know that answer. It
looks like it's there.
Yeah, according to, well, this picture, but of course the pictures don't exist yet, right, officially.
Yeah.
But according to Mac rumor, yeah, 4.7-inch display, a Touch ID home button, there it is right there, and a A13 Bionic chip with 3 gigs of RAM. So it's not expected to support the 3D touch, which I'm not an Apple user, but is that where you can touch it and then you can push a little farther yet still? Where the screen has like a click to it? I don't know.
3D
I don't know what
touch?
3D touch.
Must be, because it's not, because they've already moved away from the fingerprint touch. Now it's the Face ID.
Okay.
As far as unlocking your phone, which I really do actually like that. You know, you just hold it up and it opens up. But I think the 3D touch is like, yeah, you can go another click into the app without having to click the app.
Okay.
So, like, I want to use Instagram, but I want to go right to, I don't know, I don't ever use the
camera.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So, $399 with 64 gig of storage, gray, silver, red, and that's supposed to be introduced in March.
I mean, to your point, there's the cost of a cell phone is not going to go down, right? Like, it's right. Only going to go up, even if you bring a lower and less feature.
I think we talked about that the $1,000 price point is now kind of the, you know, like if you're going to get a flagship of either brand or either type, Android or iPhone, a grand is where it's going to be. And in some cases,
the Razr's $1,500.
Exactly. The 5G phones of what I have is $13. So,
yeah. I think one of the most interesting things, I think we've talked about these before, but like Palm is back. Palm now makes a kind of like a mini phone with like stripped away features. Yeah. And so there's also, we were so addicted to our phones that now there's a new market, which is like these kind of the anti-phone phone. There's one called the Lite Phone where all it does is it's a phone you call. It doesn't do anything. No social media, no internet, no texting. And so there's these like competitors now coming back that are just like, hey, just use a phone.
Which, you know, but that whole phone thing is almost going away, right? I mean, not only do we text and FaceTime and that sort of stuff, but I was just reading an article this morning about all of the spam calls that are happening.
Oh, yeah.
Are causing people to not answer the phone if it's not somebody out of their contacts.
It's my new favorite
feature in general.
New favorite feature on iOS 11.
Yeah.
I have it turned on in my phone. If I get a phone call not in my phone book, it doesn't even ring.
Really?
So Apple knows that everyone's gone to that, and yeah, there's so many spam. The only bummer now is like if I get a call from, I don't know, like the clinic, right? Say I'm for a clinic for my daughters or something, I now have to save it in my phone book because otherwise it'll immediately go to missed call.
Yeah.
But I love that feature because you're right. And I think there's legislation coming, trying to come back because of all that spam call.
And I use the program Hiya, H-I-Y-A, and I went so far as to buy the premium version, and that's crowdsourced spam detection, right? Oh. So if somebody else gets a spam call, they mark it as spam, and then everybody gets that same information. So
interesting.
And then for me too, the phone goes right to, unfortunately, it goes right to voicemail. It would be nice if it could just drop that call, because I still get a voicemail that says, you need to call the Social Security.
You're department. Eligible for a car loan.
Exactly. Yeah.
Warranty on your whatever.
Right.
Yep. Anything. Yeah. I noticed my Pixel 4 does the I can do the thing you were talking about. If it's not in your contacts book, it's not letting it through.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I notice a lot of it just says suspected spam caller.
Mm, sure.
And I'm like, hey, perfect. I don't have to feel guilty about this one. and then I've also noticed there's a new this new to me feature that's screen calls. So basically, if I tell it to screen my call, a little Google voice comes up and starts talking to the other person and asking them questions.
Oh.
And I get the answers in text, and then I can decide if I actually want to go from there or not.
Man, I want to call you and have be screened. I want to hear what that sounds like.
We'll do that after the show today.
Okay.
Absolutely, we'll do that.
Well, and to your point about the $1,000 price point and saying, you know, I just found it funny when you're like, well, this new thing with the phone thing, you know, it's like, we aren't really carrying phones in our pocket anymore. We're carrying mini computers.
Right.
Right. And so that's why it's $1,000.
Really nice computers compared to just a few years
what's
ago.
What's the stat that says, isn't the iPhone has like more computing technology than the Apollo that went to the moon?
I think even like the iPhone 3 was more powerful. Yeah. It's
absurd.
It is.
It is crazy. And that's, when I try to explain to people, I've kind of been watching how many people come to, because I do the website at SDPB, and I keep track of what technologies people are using. And, you know, a few years ago, mobile was starting to make a dent, about the time of the iPads got kind of big, you know, so you'd notice that, you know, like 20% of your web traffic was mobile and a few percentage in the iPad range. And it crept up to 30 and it crept up to 40. Last time I checked, it was like 16, it was like 70% was mobile traffic.
Yeah, I was going to say almost all of us should be at least 50-50.
Yeah.
Now, depending on the industry, it's going to vary. Like if you're a pizza place, if you're Pizza Hut, it's going to be probably 80 or 90.
More.
Right?
Yeah.
Because people are just looking up.
So I'm just wondering, the phones have gotten so fast, so good, so big, mm-hmm. that are they supplanting other expensive technologies? Like you don't have to go out and buy a laptop. You don't have to go out and buy a tablet. Maybe you don't like to. Maybe it got stolen, and this is what you got for now. But I think that's what I'm supposing is that that people are just using their phone instead of something more expensive and bigger.
Well, you know, back in the day when we were doing this show at SDN or we were doing it at the U. Yeah, we used to come in and we used to have this army of laptops.
Oh, yeah.
And almost, you know, they didn't fit on the table. And now now you, because you're controlling it, need one, but the rest of us never bring anything.
You're right. The only reason I use my laptop is when I feel like I'm composing. So like creating a presentation deck, writing a blog post, maybe a ton of email. And I think that's going to get taken care of too because of voice. So I think the next interface isn't going to be the keyboard. Like, I think it's so fascinating that I took keyboarding, you know, in elementary school, and now everybody, like, it got super huge. Now I don't think it even is even taught, probably because these kids already know how to do it by the time they get to it. But that's going to go away too, and the voice is going to be the next interface, right? We're already seeing Alexa and Siri and Google Home battle for that territory of the voice being the voice command center.
I'm just waiting for me to become more comfortable with it. The technology's there. This thing is crazy good, and I'm holding up my phone at the time, is crazy good about interpreting my voice to text. And I maybe it's a habit thing.
I 100% agree. I think the technology is already there. It's just more of a societal, cultural thing, right? So I still would feel really comfortable during the commercial break, you know, voice texting my wife and be like, hey, did you pick up new diapers for Liv, you know, like, I would text that because I don't need to say that in front of you guys. I think that's going to change. We won't care anymore. Yeah. Everyone will just be talking to their, like, we'll all walk by and no one's talking to. And that's actually, you know, what's to me super fascinating about the new AirPods that Apple product has. I have them here on the desk.
You're holding them up now.
The AirPods Pro. And so, you know, Beats has that, or other brands have this too, Bose. That is an interface in itself too. I think you're going to see more people, like it or not, have these in their ears all the time, because the way they'll seamlessly switch from having a conversation physically in person to Amos to just texting my wife, well, voice texting her, it'll just be so seamless we don't even notice it. And so you're gonna that alone, those AirPods, is an interface that you don't have to then get the phone out and tap.
Right.
Yeah, and my nephews were at the house over Thanksgiving, and they just get a kick out of talking to Alexa. And so this is something they're growing up with, or, you know, and it won't be weird. They'll just, you know, whatever they want, they'll be able to say it, and they don't find any embarrassment or shame or anything in having that conversation with an inanimate object, I guess. So
Joel used to talk about it all the time. They have several in their house, and I think his daughter talks to it all the time. Yeah.
Right.
The problem is, like, no one's gonna know math anymore, because you'll just be doing your homework. A kid will be like, "What's 12 times 18?"
Right.
You know,
just upgrade the math chip in their head eventually. Yep. I think, but there are things that I'm still more comfortable doing on a keyboard, as I manipulate really important things for work. But a lot of it, you know, interactions and things you can get done on a phone so much easier nowadays. And it's getting a little nutty.
Well, then there's implications. I mean, in your world of IT at the corporate level, you know, is almost everybody like a bring your own device now, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's already.
We run into, you know, companies who are, how do we control that? How do we want to improve the user experience. We want to make our employees happy and not force upon them a particular brand or style or model of phone. And so if you want to bring in you know, an old phone or a new phone, whatever. But how do you secure that, and how do you keep it from getting out of control in order to keep the company data that is on a device that we don't own and we can't really control without taking some extra steps? So that's kind of the big thing. But when you mentioned in the corporate arena, you know, and voice, it's still going to be difficult if you're sitting in a cube farm and you've got people who are putting information into systems for that to be voice, right? Because then you're going to have just the interruptions from other people. You're going to have just the volume level when you've got... I work in a small office. We have 17 people, and if we were all talking at the same time, it would be obnoxious. So I think there's still going to be areas where keyboarding, where that sort of thing, you know, comes into place, but...
And I think if you want to make it, if you want to get me started on that, I would just say cube farms just won't exist, right? Because everyone will be working home, remotely or distributed. So,
that's not a 2020
prediction. That's like a 2040 prediction, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, you're right, because it'll be, and that's another fascinating trend, right? This as we become globally connected in the palms of our hand, people are feeling increasingly more disconnected. And because we have very few or much less face-to-face interaction, and we feel like we have all these friends, but yet we don't have any real close friends.
The personal connection is being lost.
So maybe the answer isn't we all sit at home and talk to our devices.
That's going to happen either way.
Yeah. All right. Well, and I'm just for the record, it wasn't keyboarding. It was called typing class.
Mine was keyboarding. Sorry.
When I was a kid.
But it is a good question, though. I would, and maybe somebody knows this answer.
No, I checked. It's not a class anymore.
It's not.
Yeah.
So there's no concept of doing the home row and keeping the left hand doing the left keys.
I asked a grade schooler in my neighborhood because I think that's without being too weird, right? Hanging around young kids is one of the best way to predict where technology is going, right? Just watch them use it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a grade school class anymore.
Well,
interesting.
We have come to another time to pause.
That means they're all just gonna be pecking again, right?
Like, yeah, that's what I would. Expect. If you start out with bad habits as a young child without learning that, you would think. My father does the same thing too. He's good at it. Hi, Dad. In case you're listening.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take another pause here, and when we come back, we will try to fit everything in that we want to talk about today on the show. Get your questions ready at facebook.com/techradio. Leave us a message, and we'd love to hear from you, old friends and new. We'll be back right after this. You are in the moment on SDPB Radio. I'm Kent Osborne, and I'm joined by Amos Aesop, Exigent Solutions. And that almost sounds like excellent solutions. Excellent solutions.
It is. And I think my marketing guy would tell you that for whatever reason, we dropped the word solutions, I think, in the last 90 days. So it's just exigent.
Delete those characters from this thing in front of me.
Yeah.
All right. And of course, John T. Meyer from Lemonly.
Howdy.
Great to have you back on board again today. Talk about all things technology, taking listener questions at the moment, and lots of different ways to get a hold of us on the show. At Kent SDPB is where you can get a hold of me on Twitter if you're a Twitterer, in the moment at sdpb.org is the email address. I read a little roundup this morning of social media changes, I guess would be the best way to put it. And because you mentioned maybe it isn't the social media changing quite so much earlier in the conversation. And I read this roundup. It talked about all the changes to Facebook, and there's a bunch. You know, there's some fundraising tools for nonprofits and some brand collaboration, which is sort of a database of potential Facebook and Instagram influencers which your page can connect with. So... And as I read down, and there's some changes to Instagram, a new display layout, and the Instagram TV to more resemble TikTok's vertical scrolling. And I look at Twitter, and you can hide replies, and they rolled out topics which I don't know if you've gone in and selected any yet, but I've
No, it's trying to tell me to do that.
Picked a few. I think I probably liked a lot of the things that it was suggesting to me already, which I found odd that it was, you know, like Chicago Cubs or, you know, big things that I would have liked already, if, you know, after I filtered down through MLB anyway. But, you know, and even, you know, TikTok is rolling out some different things. What was the other platform I was thinking of? Pinterest did some things to redesign to make it look, you know, more like the other social media. It's almost like all the social media apps that have stood by themselves because they're so distinct are now starting to all migrate to be the same thing. Yeah. Oh, that app's got this, so we're going to put stories in. Yep. And that app's got this, so we're going to do that. This can't be good, can it? Or is it?
I mean, it depends on what you mean by good, I guess, in that. I think you're seeing...
If they're all the same...
You're definitely seeing less innovation. I love the line of, I think, Kara Swisher from... She's a columnist and has a podcast. She says that Facebook's chief product officer is Evan Spiegel. Evan Spiegel, of course, is the CEO of Snapchat, meaning Evan, like Snapchat comes out with an innovative feature and then Zuckerberg just basically copies it and rips it off. And that's what Instagram has done brilliantly, right? So like the stories on Instagram is a really like, that's a really core feature of Instagram now. You've seen people create stories all day long. People are using it more than the actual photo part, the stream. That was a Snapchat feature first. And so you're seeing a lot of that copycatting going on. I think some of these were mentioned that are interesting. We talked about that feeling of disconnection before the break. And people, we feel like we're more connected than ever, but then we're actually data showing that we're more disconnected. So Instagram has been experimenting, I think, outside of the United States and claims to be bringing it to the United States is hiding the likes. Because there's a lot of social studies about the impact of that, and especially teens worried about, you know, how many people like their picture and not enough people. Someone else, look, this person who's so popular got 50 likes and I got 2. That's an interesting thing that everyone's trying to copy. You know, there's been this kind of backlash against social media, and so people are experimenting with that. But just in general, you're seeing a lot more copycat. And at the end of the day, they're all just... They care about users, how many people subscribe or are signed up, but they really care about is the time on site. How long are you in the app? How long can I keep you here? Mm-hmm. And so that's why they're all bringing stories and video content and anything that's going to keep you on the platform. That's what TikTok is why they're exploding right now. People say you open TikTok and all of a sudden it's like 45 minutes later. You don't even know what happened.
Right. Yeah, Tumblr, they're launching group chats.
Tumblr's not even relevant.
I was going to say,
well, okay,
skip, save your
they're just trying it's to be, amazing. Now they're trying around. To be Reddit, you know? Yeah. And, so this is kind of interesting. Facebook has got a new app. It's a meme-making app called Whale, and it's only trying to stay hip with the Gen Z and the millennials, you know? But it's only available in Canada right now.
Did you just say hip?
Hip tip.
Yeah, I did say hip. Hey, at my age, you know, about hip things you're not talking about falling is a good thing. So, yeah.
One of the fascinating things, Facebook decided, which to me seems like an ego play because I can't make a business case for it, but they are adding that, you know, when they just recently, about a month ago, did a rebrand of the new Facebook logo, and they now announced they are going to put that logo on their subsequent properties. So WeChat powered by... Facebook, Instagram powered by Facebook. A study said that about 20% of people actually knew that Instagram was owned by Facebook. So I would argue the last thing they should do is let the other 80% of people know. Because if there's any company that has bad PR right now, it's Facebook. And they cannot get out of the endless cycle of bad PR. And so they really should, you know, the best move Zuckerberg made was buying all those potential competitors who could have disrupted them. They really, when I say there's not going to be a big new social network, it's because at this point the players are sort of established, right? The game is established and now they're all trying to compete against each other, but the likelihood of a new social network emerging until maybe the technology or the platform changes, it's very unlikely. So it's weird to me that Facebook is trying to tell the rest of us, oh, by the way, we own, you know, WeChat and Instagram too. I think that's actually a bad move.
You know, I am surprised at how quickly TikTok has come into the game, though, right? I mean, I would have thought prior to TikTok getting here that there just wasn't room for that. As we saw, what was the 7-second video chat prior to that?
So the Vine. TikTok is like a version of Vine that Twitter had.
Yep. And you know, we saw that fall off and die, and that figured that would be the what was happening with those sorts of services.
And I'll make a bold prediction on this show, and then a year from now you can pull the audio, and I'll look like an idiot. But I don't think TikTok will be as popular as it is a year from now. Two reasons. One, what we just talked about, I think Instagram is already starting to copy those features. They have such a what's called network effects. It's just really hard for you to leave Instagram or Facebook and go to a new network. Now, I guess I will say, I don't think you really need to following people isn't what makes makes TikTok a great experience. It's sort of the humor and the creativity. Right. But the other thing, TikTok is actually owned by a Chinese company, which a lot of people also don't know. And I think you're just in an era that we're seeing, you know, the government much more worried about social media and who's talking to who and who's got whose data. I could see a world where that becomes a bigger point of backlash. And so, you know, it may not be good to predict that the hottest kind of coolest social network out there right now won't be so popular a year from now. I just think there's enough. I could see Instagram just basically ripping it off.
They would need to change significantly. They would need more than what they have today in order to stay relevant.
Which, yeah, good point. And that's totally possible. Yeah. They could innovate.
Yeah. You know, Snapchat, it was kind of a one-trick pony for a long time. You know, just a picture that you get and it disappears. But then when we moved to stories and we moved to some of the curated information or stories that come with that about celebrities and all of the facial changes. I don't even know what the technical term is for that, but you know, when they do the overlays on your face.
Oh, like a filter.
You know, those sorts of things keep it relevant and new.
And so here's the things that TikTok's rolling out right now. They got, they put out their first SDK, which is a software development kit. So that's going to be, give the ability. So preferred third party apps and developers, like Adobe Premiere Rush and, Fuse It and Metal and, you know, PixArt and all sorts of Video Leap things can all interface and just take your video right to TikTok. So one less step, make it easier.
Yep.
They rolled out a feature to allow users to add links to e-commerce sites in their profile and biography so that they can be sponsored by e-commerce sites and things.
Yep.
So that's kind of huge. And expanded premium accounts, pro accounts, get expanded analytics, which is what you're going to need again to become that celebrity and
influencer,
and that influencer. Now, they did just get in the news. They found out that TikTok was suppressing some people's videos based on body type and other things, and they were promoting others. And they haven't completely uncapped that can of worms yet. So we'll have to see where that goes. I don't know if it's going to.
Well, here's what I will say.
Problems, but
I don't want to become the old curmudgeon who's saying, "Well, TikTok will never stick around." I'm just saying, like, if you're a South Dakota business owner listening to this, I don't think you need to start worrying about what your TikTok strategy is.
Right.
But I would download it and just try to watch and kind of just spend some time consuming the content, because back to the keyboard story earlier, it is indicative of the future version of marketers. We aren't going to be able to just like put up a billboard anymore. And that's long gone already. But like the people, these young people creating this amazingly compelling, creative, and sometimes just strange content on TikTok is sort of probably the future in many ways. It's going to transform more communication, less about the platform. And so I would at least kind of think about it, right, before you just write it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kids these days turn in assignments as short videos.
Sure.
Go research, go shoot, go edit, and come back. And I mean, younger kids are doing this.
I was telling my wife, like, I remember with my high school buddies, we had like the big old camera, and we would make a video and put it on VHS all day long doing it. Now you can do it in seconds on your phone. So kids have always wanted to make videos, right? That's never changed. Now it's just a way easier.
Right. So visual storytelling, and in certain aspects, in others, it's having fun. It's being creative and sharing that.
Expressing themselves, right?
Expressing themselves. So, it's an interesting, clash of technology and social.
Mm-hmm. And then as we've talked about before, there's a dark side to that too, and the internet and those social networks too. It's a sort of the Wild West in many ways.
Yeah, there are limits and there are, safeguards that must be put in place. As well to guard your family and your friends. We don't have time to talk about all that today, though. And we have sort of run out of time. There was some mesh networking news that I wanted to get to today, and we'll have to save that for the 20th. We're going to hand out a whole bunch of tips to stay safe online. Maybe we can get a couple in quick. If the deal is too good to be true, don't believe it.
Probably is. Right. Yeah. If you get an email asking you to log into an account because of something being wrong or an urgent matter, don't click the link. Go directly to the account. If it's Amazon or your bank or anything else, tend to stay away from clicking. Just go directly to the account and log in.
Yeah, getting a lot of those. Hey, we need to update your profile.
Right.
Oh, that's a red flag.
Yeah. And during the holidays, it seems, we were unable to deliver your FedEx box. Please update your information.
Oh, the delivery scam.
Yeah. Yeah. So if that's the case and you need to update your FedEx information, if you go to FedEx.com and type your information in, they're also going to tell you that there. So if that's true, go directly to the site and just log in to get things fixed.
Yep. Charity scams, 30% of giving to nonprofits is done just this last week on Giving Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And on New Year's Eve, actually, through New Year's Eve is when the big push is. So watch for the fake websites. Go to the ones that you trust and you know, and give rather than filtering it through some other thing, or clicking links on emails.
And if you do find something that you feel like it's new, you haven't heard of it, but it sounds really good, just do your research on it. Put it into Google. Put it into Google and then put the word scam behind it, because if it turns out someone else already figured it out, it'll be out there.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Yeah.
Yep. But especially you see huge discounts on hot gift items, especially on social media and other places. Be very wary and say, I heard about that on Tech Radio. Not going to fall for it, I guess is what we want to bring along. That, unfortunately, is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my panelists today and remind you that SDPB is always there for you with our app or at sdpb.org. Go there and click on listen. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. See you on December 20th.